Midday. Sun at its peak. Sweat drained down my face and neck, the heat from the Cayman Islands now a sweltering oven. I stared at the dead man, a man I'd never seen before. He was a messenger, and the message from his employer rang like a noontime church bell. Death's foot was on my shadow. I took deep breaths, senses on fire, the bathroom hot, the stench of urine strong. It had happened fast. Less than 2 minutes had passed since I walked into the bathroom. Just like that, my world would be different. Minutes ago, I'd been scuba diving, thinking about the kid, my mind on the kid a lot lately. The kid had been on my mind when I had stepped inside the toilet, too preoccupied to realize I had been followed by an assassin with a blade. A man who, after our quick and deadly fight, I needed to drag inside the stall to hide his body. Then let water run from the sink to the bathroom floor to wash away the blood on the tile. I stared at him, a blade in his chest, right in the heart of his University College of the Cayman Islands t-shirt. Once again, a dead body was at my feet. My heart raced. My mind moved faster than the speed of thought. The peaceful part of my dark life was over. It ended almost as soon as it had begun. I grimaced at the dead man. Blood dripped from his broken nose. We'd shared no words, but he didn't come inside this bathroom for conversation. I went through his pockets, took everything I could find. Copper wire was inside his pocket, the kind made for strangling. Wire I recognized. Anger in my eyes, I pulled the blade from his chest. No choice. Had no weapon of my own. I hurried and rinsed it off, wrapped it in paper towels. Near the back wall, I found a sign that said the bathroom was closed for cleaning. Put that on the door as I hurried outside. Clear blue waters in front of me. Couples and families playing and lounging in the sand, snorkeling, parasailing, jet skiing. All unaware of the violence that had happened yards away. I had stepped inside that toilet less than 2 minutes ago. I paused, searched to see if the killer had come alone. I had been living a hedonistic lifestyle with two beautiful women, had traveled and pretended all of my problems had been resolved. I nodded, understood the significance of that moment. That attack, that bathroom killing, would bring our hedonistic lifestyle to an end. It was time. I would have to say goodbye. Glad they weren't here. I was glad the women were checking out tourist attractions. The Iron Shore landscape of hell, the 24-acre marine theme park, Bosun's Beach, and Cayman Turtle Farm. When I felt safe, I moved away, unseen. Footprints in the sand, the only trail I'd leave behind, as I hurried toward 7 Mile Beach. I took out my cellular and dialed. She answered on the first ring. I said, "Lola, where are you?"
"With Mrs. J."
"You okay?"
"We're having a blast."
I told her. "We have to go."
"Where are we going?"
"Not together. I have to go. And you and Mrs. J have to go."
"I don't understand."
"The party's over."
"Wait, talk to Mrs. J."
I told Mrs. J what had happened. Told her to get to the room, pack, and get on a plane. She understood. I had that same problem back in London. Mrs. J said,
"The kid."
"I know."
"Don't forget about the kid. I'm a mother. It would kill me if someone stole my daughter."
She was talking about a kid named Sven. She said,
"Find the truth. You deserve the truth."
Spoken like an attorney. Old habits die hard. I promised those women that I would talk to them. Then I hung up the phone knowing that promise couldn't be kept. That had been our goodbye. Some friendships ended as abruptly as they started. The hitman never had a chance to tell me who had sent him. But I knew who it was. I looked at the knife I had pulled from his body, and I knew. His blade had been an MXZ saw knife. When I saw that familiar blade, when I found the killer had copper wire in his pocket, the same wire I had left on the bed of my enemy, I knew the problem I'd had in Detroit.